As Christians, we have inherited a very peculiar relationship with our bodies. I would say that we have inherited a schizophrenic and dualistic relationship with our bodies, according to many of the teachings of the church. Perhaps during our childhood or adolescence in Sunday school, we were taught to take care of our soul and repress our bodily sensations. The soul is eternal, the body perishable, said the philosophers and the theologians of antiquity. However, when we read about Jesus' many healing deeds, we can see a different way of looking at the human body and the physical needs. Because it is evident that for Jesus, in many of his healings, the human body and soul are both spaces for salvation, are both spaces for the manifestation of God's power. And today's gospel presents one of the many healing miracles of Jesus. All of them are an expression of the power of Jesus, and above all, of Jesus' sensitivity to respond to human needs. Not only the spiritual needs, but to needs of all kinds, to our aging bodies, to our bodies that suffer repression, to our bodies that celebrate, grow, vibrate with emotion, to our bodies that suffer, that bleed, that give birth, that die. Our life of faith does not occur in a hidden place in our souls only. Our life of faith, our salvation, also happens in our bodies. And it is interesting to recognize how Jesus works these miracles. As at other times, Jesus performs this miracle out of place and out of time. Because for Jesus, there is no time or place that is excluded from his grace. In the middle of the Jewish synagogue, among the men of the town, and on Saturday, on Sabbath, when rest was prescribed as law, Jesus decides to work this healing miracle. And undoubtedly, with his performance, Jesus subverts many of the rules of his time. He disobeys the law of the Sabbath. He approaches, speaks, and touches a woman in public, something prohibited at that time. And besides, while touching her, he becomes impure himself, since touching a sick person had religious implications and made whomever did it impure. So we see how many forbidden things Jesus did. I guess we are already used to Jesus being a problematic guy, disobedient to the rules of his time, a transgressor of the unjust laws of his people, a man out of time, or better, a man of all times. But this morning I want to invite you to turn your eyes not to Jesus, but to the person who is experiencing this divine miracle. The gospel says a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. Without doubt, we are talking about a very, very serious case of illness. The ailment had taken possession of this woman for 18 years, almost a lifetime. But the most interesting thing is the reference to the human body that appears in this text. Crippled, bent over, quite unable to stand up straight. Perhaps these simple details of the gospel are the most enigmatic and the most metaphorical of the whole Bible. I want to invite you to think, being 18 years of your life bent over, just seeing anything but the floor, without the possibility to look at the faces of people. The weight of the body deposited in the shoulders, as if the entire weight of the world was loaded there. And while reading the gospel to prepare this sermon, I was thinking about Atlas in the Greek mythology,
a young man whom God sees condemned to carry on his shoulders the pillar of that held the earth. Like this woman, like Atlas, this woman carries the weight of the world in her body, the weight of exclusion, the weight of illness, the weight of injustice, the weight of contempt, the weight of an unfair world that places the weight of all humanity on the shoulders of the weakest. And this woman reminds me of my mother in Cuba. Her body, her sorry knees, as a result of 15 years taking care of my grandparents in a country without proper health system for elders. This woman reminds me of mothers separated from their children at the border of this country. Bodies separated by force and unfairly by bars and walls. This woman reminds me of Emma, a patient at Georgetown Hospital while I was doing my internship in pastoral care, who had to wait hospitalized for no reason because she didn't have a medical insurance to go to a rehab facility. So her body was waiting for life, for healing, waiting for freedom from the bureaucracy of the medical system. And perhaps in our minds we have many other examples that this woman is pointing out. From verse 12, we see that Jesus decides to heal this woman. This is the turning point of the story. And the first thing Jesus did, according to the text, was to see this woman. For someone who was practically at ground level, almost invisible for the world, because of being a woman and a sick person, it is not a good thing in this context. But besides that, Jesus saw this woman. To see others is to recognize them as human beings, is to take them seriously, is to know that what happens to them and to put ourselves in their shoes, what it means that we are putting ourselves in their bodies. You know, I'm Cuban. My first language is Spanish. You know, the accent is. So in Spanish, we have two words, at least, to describe that human act of seeing. We have ver and we have mirar. Mirar is superficial. Mirar is having a panoramic view of the world. When you meet us, in Spanish, there is no special attention to what we see. Mirar is just a biological act. The light that objects reflect, getting contact with our eyes, system, and images of that reflected reality are automatically created. Ver, however, is an act of will. Ver is intentional. Ver implies recognizing the existence of the others, the existence of things, of God. So Jesus did not simply look. He didn't simply miró that woman. Jesus saw her. Jesus recognized her as a person. Jesus, in the act of seeing, wants to know more about her, and that act leads him to interact with her and to create a bridge with her. And that is why Jesus speaks to her, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." Looking at the images in internet preparing this sermon, I found this beautiful image of this story. I don't know if you can see from your seats. It is surprising how the painter presents Jesus in the same position as the woman. Because it is impossible to speak with her if he does not occupy her same position. Jesus lives in his body the suffering of this woman. And also, bending over, Jesus speaks with her and frees her from her illness. The text uses the phrase, "You are free," because healing in the Jewish context is not only about recovering health. It is truly freeing yourself from a very heavy burden. A person who heals is a person who truly experiences freedom in his or her own body and soul. And Jesus is the source of freedom for this woman, as Jesus is the source of freedom and healing for all of us, as we carry also in our shoulders the weight of this world that still remains unfair and that places in our shoulders the injustice of the world. And even today, we, like that woman, continue to yearn for Jesus to see us, to heal us, and to free us from the weight we carry in our shoulders. But I want to be clear this morning. We live in a world in which all bodies are not considered equal. We live in a world where some bodies suffer more than others. We live in a world where some bodies are destined for death, jail, pain, self-destruction more than other bodies. We live in a world where our African-American brothers and sisters live less years than white people. This week, we are remembering the 400 years of the arrival of the first African slaves in the United States, just a few miles from where we are here today. And for 400 years, the bodies of our African-American brothers and sisters have been considered work instruments, objects of pleasure, or target shots. So all the bodies are not equal. All the bodies in this world don't suffer the same. And that's unfair. From verse 14, we have the reaction to the healing actions of Jesus. First, we have the reaction of the head of the synagogue, who shows his anger because Jesus broke the law by healing on the Sabbath. And Jesus' response is blunt, as in the gospel last Sunday, when he called back those who are hearing him as hypocrites. Strong word for those who consider themselves pure and sinless, like the religious leaders in Jesus' times. But we already know that anything prevents Jesus to seeing and serving others. Jesus places the human being at the center of the stage and his ministry. And because Jesus knows, Jesus knows that the human being was not created by God to comply with unjust laws, but that the laws were created to serve human beings. And in his time, Jesus broke with all the laws that prevented human beings from living fully. Because no law is fair if it allows a single human being, a single child of God, to continue to suffer exclusion due to illness, race, gender, social status, ethnicity, or sexual condition. The other reaction that appears in the text just at the end is the reaction of the people, the community. According to the gospel, the people rejoice at all the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. And with the joy of the people for the healing, the gospel gives us the blessing of human solidarity, the need to rejoice with those who are glad because they heal, they get healed, and they get free. The people in this story show solidarity for those who have been suffering in body and spirit. May God give us the courage to see the suffering of the world. May God give us the courage to see the bodies that suffer and die around us. May God give us the courage to transform the pain and death of this world in freedom and life forever. Amen.